We are on.
Thank you. So we're going to call the Board of Supervisors back to session with site comments, and we're going to move on to consent agenda. There's some department heads here, so we're going to do consent agenda first, just to let them get back to work, and then we'll do the presentations from the public. Was there any comments on the consent agenda? See none in-house, and Anne, none online?
Showing online.
All right. My colleagues' wishes with the consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda. Wait, sorry. I want to pull 5B.
B as in boy?
B as in boy.
Thank you.
So I would move to approve the balance of the consent agenda minus 5B.
Second.
5B as well, you said? That's bold?
Yes.
Okay.
B as in boy.
Thank you. Okay, Supervisor Howell?
So the reason I pulled was just,
No, just for the consent.
Approved.
Supervisor Costa?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela? Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
I'm confused.
Now I think we can go on to 5B.
5B. I'm going to pull 5B to draw some attention to what I didn't find in the backup material. One, for the public, you have to actually go to the Forest Service to find the SOPA that we're commenting on. The other piece that, there's a couple of pieces missing that I guess I would have included in this, and maybe that'd be a future agenda item. One, the program for the Klamath appears to be in complete collapse from the standpoint of amount of work being done after the tremendous fires we suffered last year. So I think as a county board, we need to start focusing on that because it places our communities further at risk on down the line with additional fire entering around those communities. The other piece, buried deep in the SOPA, is a comment period on retardant use on National Forest System lands. If you go to the national page and you try and dig that out, it's very complicated, but what it will show you is a reluctance to use retardant, even in the place of protecting the community, when there's the chance that it may affect either an endangered or sensitive species. And I know from my district, the bulk of my communities lie either within wild and scenic rivers or they lie within riparian zones, which makes retardant use possible and not legal under that MOU. And that MOU has been developed over the last 10 years with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Marine Fisheries Service. I think it's time that we draw some attention to that and put some focus on commenting on the national retardant policy that's affecting our communities.
Thanks for pulling this agenda topic it brought to mind. Over on the east side of Siskiyou County, there's no agronomist, naturalist?
That's
it. Well, I learned that word by reading, so
sorry.
Thank you.
You come to my world.
Yeah.
You can spell it forward and backwards.
But there's no anadromous waterways there. And if you drive Highway 97, when you guys take trips to the Klamath Falls or to a lake or something like that, you'll see a large number of weeds along 97 where the fire was. And unfortunately, even though there's no anadromous waterways there, they're not going to use herbicide to get ahead of it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to face some big problems with weeds coming up. Unfortunately, that's the decision there at this time.
Well, Supervisor, where for the rest of the board, what this really plays out is when there's a wilderness fire, the scenic portion of that national effort discourages and sometimes forbids the use of retardant on those fires. Which, as most of you know, then it gains a really large head of steam and heads out of the wilderness toward one of the communities. And Scott Valley sits in very close proximity to three wilderness areas that are right adjacent to the valley floor, which make it perilous. What I'd like to see, I guess, maybe in a future agenda, OES coordinate an effort with CAL FIRE and with the National Forest, both of them, to come here and give us a presentation so we can ask questions on really what the technical use of retardant is or what its intended use is for fire system. It's a critical tool that we can't afford not to have.
I understand, too, the Forest Service isn't overstaffed on the firefighters this year either.
No, they're we're CAL FIRE's.
Yeah.
But I'd like a motion to approve.
Second.
And that's to approve the letters, correct?
As is, with more to follow.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Thank you.
All right, so the department heads can do as they wish. Well, now we'll do presentations from the public. We already did leave Ms. Lynn Beach, and I'm going to hold everybody 3 minutes here. Did we do Michael Huffman?
Not yet.
Not yet? He's up there, okay. We have Michael Huffman, and then after Michael Huffman will be Alma Gee.
Guy.
Okay, awesome, all right. Mr. Huffman, you have the floor, sir. Oh, no. Technical stuff again, Mr. Huffman. We're going to work on it, and you're going to have a chance to be heard. Don't worry about it. We're just working out the technical stuff, but you will be heard, and this won't cut into your 3 minutes at all.
Everybody will be heard with me.
Ms. Cohen?
I was saying, right, they're still having problems hearing his family.
Mr. Harlan? Mr. Huffman?
Can't talk.
You're doing fine, sir. We're not going to take your 3 minutes. You're going to have your full 3 minutes. We're just having technical difficulties on our end. But don't worry, we're going to have your full 3 minutes. We're not going to cut you.
Thank you. Michael Huffman. I'm a resident in Mount Shasta.
We can hear you, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm going to call God's blessings and protection and reward to all our dedicated constitutional law enforcement officers and our first responders and all their families. All their families are so grateful. Regarding election integrity, we wish to submit into the public record the following case. In the United States District Court for the District of Arizona, Carrie Lake et al. Plaintiffs versus Katie Hobbs, Arizona Secretary of State et al. Defendants. And now comes a declaration of Sean A. Smith. I'll highlight some of his extensive and very impressive qualifications. I, Sean A. Smith, declare under penalty of perjury that the following is true and correct. I have personal knowledge of the matter set forth below and could and would testify completely to them, competently to them, if called upon to do so. So he's a retired military officer, has master's degrees in national security affairs and a naval postgraduate school in aeronautical science. Has been active, top secret security clearance since 1992, and had been cleared for sensitive, compartmented information since 1996. His military service included significant experience in special technical operations, and involved in advanced technology at every level, from tactical employment through operational planning, national level policy, presidential tasking and requirements, definition and procurement of future sensitive capabilities. says, I have conceived and advised agencies within the United States government on opportunities and technical approaches for supply chain compromise to affect foreign adversaries in their ability to wage war against the United States and to benefit United States national security. My final active duty assignment prior to retirement in 2017 was for 4 years as senior military evaluator for space and intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance systems in the Office of the Director, Operational Test and Evaluation under the Office of the Secretary of Defense. Then I'll move down. He says, I have been asked to testify about the threat of supply chain compromise and the
time.
I got to call time here, sir. With respect, and now we'll have Ms. Alma. After
I'm up, okay, I ended on page 2, line 23. Back again.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We have Ms. Alma.
I'm Alma Guy.
Alma Guy.
Gazelle.
Okay. And then Bat, I think it'd be Beverly Harlan. Is she here in the... If Beverly Harlan would raise her hand on the... on the Zoom deal, you'll be on that. This guy, go ahead.
I have been asked to testify about the threat of supply chain compromise and attack to the U.S. national security system and critical infrastructure, in particular to relational...
Wait, start over. You got it. They can't hear you. Very soft-spoken.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
There you go. Perfect.
Go ahead.
Start over. And
is that
we're
bad?
Reading from the same testimony, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're fine. Go ahead.
I have been asked to testify about the threat to the supply chain compromised and attack to the U.S. national security systems and critical infrastructure, in particular election-related systems, including voting systems, and consequently to elections. This declaration will define and describe supply chain compromise threats, provide examples, explain to that they have become pervasive and sophisticated, affecting the, and placing at risk the supply chain for U.S. computer systems and components, and explain the consequent ramifications of the vulnerability of U.S. elections and voting systems. The information presented is unclassified and based upon my personal experiences, publicly available reporting, studies, events, incidents, policy, and declassified U.S. government information. Given my background, experience, education, and training, and now my exposure to and understanding of the technology employed in U.S. election systems, my conclusion is that U.S. elections are critically vulnerable to exploitation by foreign adversaries through supply chain compromise of our computerized election systems. Although elements of the U.S. government appear keenly aware of the risk of supply chain compromise to our critical systems, that awareness does not appear to extend to any agency responsible for the procurement, security, certification, or use of election and voting systems, nor to imbue them with the capacity to respond effectively. Whether or not they are aware, their conduct reflects no defensive adaptation or response to that risk to protect the security and integrity of the U.S. election system or the elections using them. Given the proliferation of supply chain threats and origin of so many attacks with deliberate, well-funded, large-scale, targeted foreign national government programs, the near-universal foreign sourcing of our computers and computer components, and this lack of awareness and or response in agencies responsible for the U.S. elections and voting systems. It is highly unlikely that numerous supply chain compromises have already been introduced to our election and voting system, and it is improbable and unwarranted to assume that those compromises have not been introduced.
I missed turning that one. So, are we okay?
Salma, are you about to where you're, we forgot to turn the timer on?
Okay, I can start right here.
If you're
24. Excuse me?
Appreciate your professionalism. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Ms. Beverly Harland, and after that is David Wallace.
David Wallace had to, he couldn't wait that long. So.
Oh, understood. Okay. All right. So, Ms. Beverly Harland? Is she online, Ms. Hanna? No? Okay.
Do we have a phone number?
Yeah, we do. Sorry. 2867. I should have said that. Thanks for catching me. Ms. Beverly Harland, if you happen to be on, feel free to raise your hand. 2867 isn't on.
Not that I can see.
All right. And David Wallace can't be on, but just out of abundance of caution, he's 8131.
We do a 8131.
Okay. 8131? All right. We might have him.
Caller ending in 8131. Did you wish to speak on this matter?
Star 9.
Press star 9, Mr. Wallace. I'll give just a little bit of time here. You know, you're seeing anything, Anna? All right. I'm going to go ahead and move past him then. Number ending in 9014. And the name is Dietra, I believe. D-I-E-T-R-A, Dietra. I don't have a last name, but it's 9014, named Dietra.
She may have had to get to a meeting.
Okay. Dietra, could you raise your hand if you're on?
Star 9.
All right, Ms. Anna, we're going to move on to the next number. Thanks for the list, by the way. I'll work down this as best as I can. I got Jeremy, or Jeremy, J-E-R-M-Y. Last final four numbers in his phone number are 0583.
Jeremy Lipke?
No. I think you probably had to get to work.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'll leave it for, are there any others calling in on this subject? Please feel free to raise your hand or press star 9. You see none, Anna?
I'm showing none online.
Showing none? Okay, so back to those that had the pleasure of physically appearing here. Pat Kagi.
She had to leave.
She had to leave? Okay.
Yeah.
And Mr. Ben Madsen? Madison? Yes, sir. Thanks for filling in.
I stuck around.
Thank you. Just say your name for the record, sir, when you start.
My name is Ben Madison, and I will continue this process here.
Yes, sir.
I must say, before I start, I've gotten quite an education this morning. I've lived here 5 years, and I didn't know any of this. Okay, we begin. It is difficult to convey the magnitude of inadequacy of the EAC's guidelines in response to the threat of supply chain attack facing voting and election systems. In order to protect against supply chain attack and compromise for computers and computer components, including software and firmware, it is necessary to have qualified experts monitor, without exception, its hiatus, the purity of every single material you use in your device, the digital sign, templates, and controls for fabrication, the fabrication of every single component, the resulting fabricated components, the assembly of all those components composed of material you have verified according to your design into finished product. The same vigilance must be applied to uninterpreted expert monitoring of the finished product itself, including configuration, maintenance, updates, including 100% of installed code, for its entire life cycle, from concept through end of use. Only then is there even a reasonable chance to secure a system against supply chain attack. And all those measures are not vigilantly undertaken, then there is reasonable chance of the undetected supply chain attack. None of those measures are or have been in place for our voting system. In comparison, the Department of Commerce Inspector General formally expressed concerns that the FirstNet Authority had not yet conducted a supply chain risk assessment for the MPSBN in its 4 years of existence. How immeasurable in our risk is the EAC and state government have not conducted a supply chain risk assignment for U.S. election and voting systems. In the 20 years, pardon me, since the EAC was created, what Peter Newman, principal scientist of the Computer Science Laboratory of SRI International, wrote in 1995 seems precedent and still applicable. Existing standards for designing, testing, certifying, and operating computer-based voting counting systems are inadequate and voluntary and provide few hard constraints, almost no accountability, and no independent expert evaluations. Vendors can hide behind a mask of secrecy with regard to their propriety programs and practice, especially in the absence of controls.
Thank you, Mr. Madison.
That's my signal?
That's your signal. Thank you, Mr. Madison.
Thank you very much for your time.
I'll do Ms. Holly Hanser.
Okay.
Public comment on election integrity.
Okay.
After Ms. Holly Hanser, I'll have Bill Schmidt.
Here's my little on the envelopes. Holly Hanser with election integrity, and I still, not only do I say paper ballots, but I'm saying please sequester, find a way. We need to do this in emergency for the 2020 election, yes, to show our paper ballots with Jovan Hutton Pulitzer. Anyway, so this guy is saying the serious risks will always remain and some elections will be compromised because proving sufficient assurances for computer-based election integrity is an extremely difficult problem. But as we know, it's way beyond just the computers and the computing systems. So I think we need paper ballots. We just learned from Louise that there's no law that says that we can't do, according to the Secretary of State's office, that we cannot do paper ballots in this county. So hey, if we have to do machines, let's do paper also, completely paper. So that, and let's did it forensically audited so we know that our papers were printed where they're supposed to be. It was an overprinting and all that. And I should be speaking in Los Angeles County as well as here at the same time. Here I am. But anyway, the situation is far, I'm on page 31 of 69 of this document, Lake versus Hobbs. This guy's testimony, as we mentioned earlier, the situation is worse than at first it seems. Decades ago, many states had their own voting systems examiners of varying capacity, and I don't even know about what's going on in California. I'm going to skip a little forward here. The complexity of modern computer-based voting systems and the relentless advance of cyber threat actors capabilities now demand a skill set for the cybersecurity that few, if any, states, let alone our county, can possess or afford, even if states and localities could afford the caliber of cybersecurity expertise needed to defend the voting systems. We learned about the sheriff. How can we even have that for here? The qualified cyber professionals is too small, and someone calls himself election integrity, and there Eric Comer who was right in saying that he was going to F Trump. Excuse my French. So anyway, basically, I'm going to go on to number 63, the lack of skilled, qualified experts that we can trust. And this goes on, so I'm going to skip to page 32. And I want all of this to be in the, not just this document, but all of the Lake versus Hobbs thing, lawsuit. Because we cannot have our law enforcement protected. We cannot have anything right unless we get our elections right. Because if California administrators down in Sacramento are, excuse my French, screwing us, then how are we supposed to do anything about it if we can't have a vote that counts? So thank you very much. I didn't read that perfectly, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Hanser. Bill Schmidt is next, and then after Bill Schmidt, we'll have Mr. Daniel F. Simon.
I bet.
Yeah, I'm Bill Schmidt. Of course, my opinion, you know, if you take my opinion, $20 to a restaurant, you might get a cup of coffee. But the last election, 2020, it's shown that we need more integrity on our elections. The Supreme Court, they dropped the ball when they wouldn't see the case that Texas brought in. I feel they caused June 6th because of that. And we need, if we got a computer, it can be hacked. Look at what the Justice Department just went through. All the CCNRs got hacked in Siskiyou County and Shasta County. You know, in elections, if they're using a computer, personally, I don't think it should be plugged into the internet while it's being used. We need something that's very controlled, very, that we know that the outcome comes right. When they put in a test, put in 50-50 to test, and at the end of the test comes out 20-30 or 20-60, you know, there's something wrong with the machine. And when you got the machines built by China, software made by China, controlled by China, no way you can get into it to check it, we don't need to use it. We need to find some other system to use. We need a secure election. And I think it starts here at the county level. I know your hands are tied by the state, but we've got to work around that and do something so we have a secure election in Siskiyou County. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Daniel Simon.
Well, yes, thank you again. Here I am again after the elections.
Name for the record?
Daniel Simon, my recon. And so I want to provide a solution and notified Laura Biden of that. She was on vacation last week. And okay. But the Humboldt County Election Transparency Project is very, very powerful in the sense that if people want to cheat in Humboldt County, they're going to get caught. So, and I know we're small potatoes. I understand that. And the vulnerabilities have not been taken advantage of yet. And I would appreciate and respect Laura Bynum and her hardworking staff, but they're stuck with a black box they cannot look into by contract. Now, the Smith Declaration, which I sent you all emails on, I believe, and I can provide hard copies as well. I just got to go make seven. But basically, page 43, Sean Smith's declaration in federal court states, our public officials and public are hearing almost exclusively what is simply not true, that our voting systems are both secureable and secure. So his declaration is not a smoking gun of election fraud, say in Siskiyou County, but a smoking gun of vulnerabilities, which I've been discussing for years. So what I was hoping with the Humboldt County Election Transparency Project, and I've provided that before, but basically it's proven itself over 10 years. I had a wonderful conversation with Juan Cervantes. He is the election manager of Humboldt County, and they brought this in, and he really appreciates it. He really does. Because what it is a group of volunteers have a scanner, high-speed scanner, and they bring it in, and they got approval from the county clerk at the time. This is back in 2010. And so county clerk's done. County clerk provides oversight with protocols. These volunteers come in with a high-speed scanner. They create digital ballot images, which are essentially photographs like on your phone. Then they take those and burn them onto a DVD. Now, you or I or anybody could go up to the counter and say, I would like the digital ballot images of the last election. They say $20, $40, whatever the cost is. Then what happens You can take these home and you can do a recount on your computer very quick. So that's what the volunteers have done. It's been operating for 10 years now. And I would hope that somehow we can, I would like to get the retired election clerk to come and speak about this. That would be a nice thing. And see if we want to implement this. Now, I hope Laura Bynum would go ahead and implement this voluntarily. I hope she would at least, as I've requested, call Humboldt County people. If not, we might have to go with an ordinance, and you get to keep the Dominion machines. And you'd have public assurance through the Humboldt County Election Transparency Project. So I guess there's some...
Hey, Mr. Seibert, thanks for the thoughtful presentation. And with that, is there any other public comment?
Showing none online.
None online? Okay, sir.
I apologize for the chairs.
Oh, we have someone online. All right, Ms. Alice Rogers. All right. Ms. Alice Rogers, you have the floor.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking the time. I tuned in this morning to hear the Board of Supervisors meeting. There was a long agenda, and I thought, you know, a lot of stuff to hear. Instead, well, I heard the stuff about the Sheriff's Department, which is important, and I've been bombarded with conspiracy theory nonsense. It seems like we need to get to the meeting. I've heard several people talk about Sean Smith and what a great person this is. Failed to mention he's an insurrectionist who was at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, where many members of law enforcement were attacked. Some killed. No respect for law enforcement. So I don't know if this is a guy we really want to hold up. He's the president of Cause of Actions, which is funded by Mike Lindell, another conspiracy, ally of Tina Peters, who's under investigation for alleged involvement in security breach. Carrie Lake, another criminal. Like, I'm not really understanding why this person needs to be held up for what we need to be doing in Siskiyou County. There's so many conspiracy theories, I can't answer them all. Somebody said we need paper ballots. I've been voting 25 years in Siskiyou County, always used a paper ballot, not sure what that means. Also hearing about the 2,000 mules debunked stuff, heard about that at the last meeting. Can we get to the business of the county? Can we get something done? We don't have enough money to pay for the sheriffs. Let's spend our money. Let's spend our time wisely. Get to the business and stop with conspiracy theories and nonsense. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Alice Rogers. And just for you to know, Ms. Alice Rogers, yeah, during public comment, the public can speak on what they need to. But thank you for your comment, Ms. Alice Rogers.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Gentleman with a cowboy hat had your hand raised first, and I'll get to this Luis Gliado. I forgot. I apologize for that.
Oh, no, that's all right. My name is Jeff Ranger again from Community Manchester.
Another three?
About three minutes, sir. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. I'm not going to go into the lawsuit. I know Carrie Lake personally. I met her. I worked with her when I lived in Arizona. So I'll speak on her reputation that... outstanding. Well, let's just say she's sharp tack. So I don't know what this lady's heard from about her. Like, I've worked with her personally. Anyway, I just want to say that your guys' hands are tied. We all know that. The state says what they say. Laura's hands are tied. The state says what they say. We've all heard it. You know, whether you believe it or not, it's inconsequential to me. This county has almost 29,000 registered voters. In the 1800s, they did it by a vote and volunteer. And I think this is a small community, and I think that would be possible. I know that we have to do the machines, but it doesn't mean that we can't do the employee volunteer, which I am a volunteer of an organization for election integrity. There'd be several people that wouldn't be able to sit down and hand count these and find out what's really going on. Although I don't think there's all that much going on in Siskiyou County. You go to Marin County or LA County or, you know, of course the big ones, Georgia, Pennsylvania. but I think we can set an example as a small community. Our voices can be lifted and say enough is enough. Whether you believe it in the conspiracies or not, I think that election is a way for voices to be heard and to set true democracy as our forefathers have set forth. Thank you, John. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. And then Ms. Luis Gliotta.
Good morning. I just wanted to
say... Just say your name for the record. Yeah, just...
What?
Even though I said your name, feel free to say your name again.
Luis Gliotta.
Yeah, thank you.
I live in Wyandotte. I just want to say that I worked with Election Integrity in 2016. I was one of the observers. I observed all the process of the voting, down to even watching Wendy and people in the office checking people's signatures. I was very impressed with how organized and how exact and the integrity of that office and Laura, how she runs the office. But my concern is that I noticed that with this last election, I know it was a midterm election, a lot of people aren't too excited about that, but we only had 43% of the people in Siskiyou County voting. And what I've been hearing from folks is they just felt like their vote didn't count, and even if they did vote, that, you know, that there was election fraud. Now, I don't believe that there was election fraud in Siskiyou County. I really don't. And I also worked as a co-worker this last time, so I got to see both aspects of it. And there's a lot of dedicated, honest, good people here in Siskiyou County that help with our elections. But I did want to mention that I did call the Secretary of State's office about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, and I wanted to know where in the election laws or where in California law that it says that counties and cities have to use voting machines. And the person on the other end didn't identify himself, so for all I know, that staff person could have been someone who empties the garbage cans. But what he did say to me was that there's no such law. And I said, well, then, what is the deal with these machines? Because a lot of people have concerns. They don't trust the machines. And what he told me was that the law is that if a city or a county uses tabulators or election counting machines, that they have to be machines that are certified by the state. And right now there are three machines or three companies that are certified by the state of California. And I said, are you telling me then that our county in Siskiyou could do paper, go back to paper ballots again? And he said, yes. He said, that would be up to your county clerk. So I just wanted to clarify that. That was the information that I had received. And again, I don't have that person's name, and I don't know what their position on the staff is, but that's what the Secretary of State's office did tell me. So I wanted the supervisors to be aware of that. And our county is so small that, and we used to do counting paper ballots, and I think it could be done. But I also understand that the Dominion machines are, we have a contract with that company, and I think it was a 10-year contract, and I don't know when that contract is up. But I also understand in order to discontinue using the machine and get out of the contract, we have to have just cause. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Gliotta. Any other public comment? And I just like to say on this subject, I always appreciate with Election Integrity the respect that's always shown to Laura Bynum as she sees it. It's very nice. With that, we'll end public comment, and we'll go to item 7A, personnel. Ms. Cummins, I believe.
Sheriff's meeting.
He's not there. Okay. Oh, understood.
Yeah, I asked him.
That's
something
that happened.
Just focus.
Head
around the corner.
Oh, did he?
Mr. Rooks, could you just see a chair? Yep. Thank you, sir.
Over there by the staircase.
I didn't go that far.
Thank you, Mr. Rooks.
Yep.
All right, just for those online, we're item 7-8, personnel, dispatcher classification.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Melissa Cummins, Deputy County Administrator. I want to introduce, before I get too far into this item, the gentleman standing to my left. This is Matt Ropes. He is the representative for the Organized Employees of Siskiyou County, and I asked Matt to join me this morning for this item. So we have a request. This is two side letters for the dispatcher positions within the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Office. As you heard this morning, they've been experiencing some severe you're short staffing in the dispatch. And so the two side letters that we presented to the board on in this agenda item will allow the positions, the lowest end is a 10.78% increase in pay, and that's for the communications dispatcher one classification, up to an 11.49% pay increase. These also include corrections to the steps and ranges, which is something that we've been doing with every item we've been bringing before the board. This is not an action item for the board, it is just informational, but because it will increase the sheriff's budget, we wanted to make the board aware. And so we want to thank Matt and his team. We were literally able to turn this item around within a month's time frame from the sheriff making the request to personnel. And so we want to thank them publicly for really coming to the table and working with us on this item. And we hope to continue that going forward. And we're happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Any questions, colleagues?
And the sheriff is here.
We'll put you on the spot if you wanted to say anything, sir.
I'll be quick. Of course, the sheriff says that. Never is. I've been quick, I promise. No, I appreciate this. This is, I think, a step in the right direction, and I think it'll help. Like I said, we have only 44% of our positions filled, and it's a challenging job. They do great work. They do a lot more than most people know, so I'm glad that we can offer them more. So thank you for everyone's hard work on this. Appreciate it.
Any questions from any colleagues? Now I can just say that the sheriff's office gets all 911 calls and has to do triage and all those sorts of factors with it as well. So the work's greatly appreciated for dispatch. With that,
No, I'd just like to thank the sheriff too for bringing up this issue. We all heard of. My name's Matt Roakes. I'd like to thank the sheriff publicly for bringing this item up. We all heard this morning, you know, some drastic stories about how bad things are in the sheriff's department. This is a step in the right direction, and I think it's something we can duplicate, and we can maybe get things back on track. So it's not all doom and gloom. There is light at the end of the tunnel. It's not a train. As long as we keep working together, we should be able to solve these problems. We're all totally capable of doing that.
Thank you, Mr.
So thank you.
And just for those listening, yeah, we approved this on the consent agenda. That's why I didn't accept Supervisor Hopp's motion, because we already voted for it. But I appreciate him taking the initiative. And with that, we'll go ahead and move on to the next agenda topic, Ms. Cummins.
Thank you,
which
is
item 7B.
Thanks.
Thank you.
See you.
County Administration Personnel Elected Department Heads.
Okay, so 7B is a resolution for the elected department heads, which consists of six positions. The proposed resolution includes a 2% salary increase effective July 24th of this year, and an additional 3% pay increase in February. I'm sorry, 4% salary increase on July 24th. Thank you. The second increase would become effective February of 2023, which would provide a 3% salary increase. There are proposed changes on the insurance. However, because these are all elected positions, we're not able to change any of their benefits until the next election cycle. So you'll see on the insurance, those changes don't actually take effect until February 1st of 2027. Our elected officials just went through their election cycle, and so their next term does not begin until the first Monday in January of 2027, so that's why the difference in the dates. We did do a slight increase in deferred compensation to the employees in the units, memorialized the retiree health and added the language to put us in compliance with CalPERS regulations, also memorialized the retiree dental, and additional changes to long-term disability benefits, slight increase in administrative leave, and other language cleanups. We are recommending approval of the resolution for the elected department heads group and the subsequent resolution amending the Siskiyou County salary schedule.
Any questions or entertain a motion by my colleagues?
Move to approve.
Second.
And that's for both resolutions, correct?
I would recommend doing them individually.
Individual?
Oh, okay. Okay. Just the first one, the first one.
Okay, so the first one. Supervisor Hopp.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
I'll be an aye.
And the next one then is the salary schedule.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.